Next mission, Mishnah Tezai, getting near to the end here, Rav Gabriel Omer, Asel Harav, Vistat Menasopik, Valtar, Velas, Vesel, Aviv Modois. He was the son of Hillel, okay? And he has a very interesting collection of words here to tell us. Asel Harav, that seems to be a repetition near the beginning of the parak we already had in Mishnah Vav, Yeshua ben Prachya, who said, Asel Harav Knel Hohove. He's a few days later, so he was just repeating the same thing, that it wouldn't have its place in the Mishnah. Asel Harav Vestalt Menasofik. So Asel Harav Vestalt Menasofik, most Rishonim learn this as one statement. Asel Harav, in order that you should remove yourself from this Vegas. So that the main problem with that is what does that say more different than what we already learned in the Seder Harav in Yeshua ben Prachya's Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah is a very strange thing to be found in Pachyovis. First, the Poshup Shad of the Mishnah, what does it say? Al Tarva La'asa Oymodos, meaning that Oymodos means estimations. There's Halacha Meiser, it has to be exactly a tenth. Have to have in Meiser, Trumas Meiser, yeah, not Trumas Meiser, and Meiser Isha, Meiser Sheni, you have to give a tenth of the produce. So how do you figure out what's a tenth? So what you're supposed to do is that you're supposed to do it by counting it, or by weighing it, by some exact measurement that you know, each thing, either by a kilo, or if it's place watermelons, by count out the watermelons, each thing according to the way that you can give an exact judgment on. But there is a halacha, we learn it from a pasuk, that when it's necessary, a person is allowed to make an estimate. And you can say, we take off a bunch, that you estimate is the tenth, and you make that nice. Now, if you're wrong, you get into trouble either way. Whether you have too much or too little, then you're going to be in trouble. If you have too much there, so the part that's more than a tenth is tevel, because it wasn't meiser. And the problem is going to be that the 90% that you have left over, not the 88% that you have left over, is going to be okay. But that you're going to give hand to the lady, it's going to be his meiser, plus another little piece that wasn't taken care of. So that's a problem. If you had too little, sure it's a problem. So usually we would say, okay, you know, usually we like to say, okay, you have a problem, throw another extra little. Machmer a little. So, but there are things that don't work that way. There are things that you have to get it right. Afal pikein, the heter, we learned it from the pasuk, you're allowed to do. You're allowed to do it, meaning that you're allowed to make an estimation and try to get it right. With the lundis, you can get a little fancier, and we do this also sometimes, because Vinish worked on it and developed us a very nice nusach, so that we get around this problem the way we take off shuras and maisers. We're not getting shuras and maisers yet. But the cholofin, this is the halacha of the mission. It's telling us that you're allowed to use this heter. There is this heter that exists that you can, instead of weighing it out, estimate. And the mission is telling you, even though you're allowed to, but it's not suggested. Al-Tarbe last time. Okay. So the big question that screams out over here is, what is this halacha doing in Pigyo? It's not this one. Yeah. And what's it doing in particular in this mission? So we see on the surface some sort of relationship, that this is Asel Harav Astav Min Asofik. This is telling you also, don't do things that are a little wishy-washy. You have to do things clear-cut. Alright, that's true. We can see that, but that's not really satisfying. Anybody could sphere. I can't get satisfied on that answer. So we'd like to have a little bit clearer understanding of this Mishnah. What's the subject? What is a little teaching that's different or greater than we've already learned? And certainly, what's this combination over here? What's he telling us? So the Bnei Yehuda comes to our rescue. And he explains a crowd over here that this is from years ago. This one, my first eye-opener, when I saw this Bnei Yehuda many, many years ago, where you see the Koyach of Rishonim to get to depths of things and to analyze things exactly, to teach us Yisoides, which we make here. The klal of the Beinu Yoinim is that Rav Gamliel is teaching us how to think. Okay. This is Mishnah, it's title Sfar. The purpose of this Mishnah is to teach us Hilchos Sfar. It's a visitor. Let's continue. The Benyamin explains that the first Mishnah that we were learning by Rafi and Mishnah Vov, when he says Sedech HaRav, that's establishing, as we learned there, we spoke about it at length, the different types of relationships that a person needs. So the point was the Sedech HaRav, period, as compared to Kenei Lechachove. Because you need a particular relationship with a person called a rab, and that you have to take the Seilich HaRav, you have to go do that, Kenei Lechachove, everything the way we explained it before. We're talking about the basic idea of having the need and having setting up the importance of having that type of relationship. That was Rabbi Yeshua ben Parfias halacha. And Gamliel is coming to teach us a special halacha that a Seilich HaRav is talak mirasof. You need a rab for a special role of avoiding sins. And he says a very Kiddush, all of the Rishonim explain this in different ways. There's a Yishalmi that it's based on. A Seilich HaRav, they learn, means, what does it mean, a Seilich HaRav? If he is your Rav, so you have to make him. If his relative to you is a person who is teaching you, so he's your Rav, you didn't make him a Rav. He's a Rav. Relate to him as a Rav. Yeah, make it a Rav. So they learned that the Mishnah is teaching you to make yourself a Rav, even if he doesn't, the person that you're making a Rav doesn't want to be on his own right. Meaning, take even a friend and a equal and make him your Rav. For what purpose? What is this strange thing for? The Star of Minasophic. Which is teaching us that although people are equals, every person has his chilukim tayim, and every person has his area where his perspective can get the clarity that's needed to come with a definite opinion. So what this Mishnah is teaching us is that when you've approached the halacha, you have to make a psak, you have to make a decision. And you've come to a decision that you believe it is this way, but you're not feeling totally secure in it. Because you know that in the area of halachas, there's always, there's no, well, just be machmeh. That's not Torah. Right? Sometimes nevach, we don't know Torah, so we have to do that. Right? Because, for example, in most halachas, if you're going to be mekel more than you should be, it's going to cause that you're going to be every sur, or that the person you're giving the halacha to is going to be every sur. And if you're going to be machmeh more than you're supposed to be, very often it's going to cause a financial loss, a tirchum, or other chesroinos, which you know how to do that. So it was chasal and Yisrael. So you're not just, oh, we'll be machmir, we'll throw it out. Throw it out, so fast. You're not going to be right. So, a psak, a halacha, is a very serious thing. There's no, so the person had the idea, he went to the shayla, and he decided that he thinks that the halacha here is this way, but he doesn't feel the 100% clarity to say that he was mistalik in the suffix. That is beyond that. So what do you do in such a case? So the Mishnah is telling us a Kiddush. Call up your friend, the neighbor, the next rabbi for the next neighbor down the road, or the chavrusa, whoever it is, even if he's an equal, and ask him the shayla. And very possibly, although you are still not so clear, he's going to give you a straight answer. And it may well be the same answer that you said. Or maybe you're not saying the same answer. But if he comes and he tells you clear, he says, oh, for sure, here it's okay. Or, oh, for sure, he doesn't see that you can be math over here, then accept it regardless. Or, fine. So this is a big Yisrael in Torah. And I think they bring it from the Goinim. It's a halacha the way we pass in the Gemara also. That if you have even a Rebbe declared a shayla, it wasn't patient. And then, without knowing that the Rebbe was declaring the Shaila, They asked it to a Talmud, and the Talmud was pushing it, you know, so the Kifa. The more brings that down, that means that the Loch is Ketal. Even the Talmud of Okahara. They bring it from the Goyim. It goes Psak. Because when a person has a clarity in Torah, when a person, obviously it doesn't mean a person who doesn't know what it means to have clarity in Torah. But, oh, well, we're talking about a ball of a rock. That person said, what's the difference? Obviously, you're talking to a person who knows what the significance of Torah is. But when a person comes and his capability of svara, in this particular instance, gives him clear sight to the point that he can make an absolute clear decision, then the halacha is kamaisa. And even a Rebbe, certainly an equal, paskins accordingly. This is a chiddush gadol in halacha, which the Mishnah is teaching us, and telling us what Torah is. We are mekabler the Torah. The Bnei Shalom's type. That every person has his chelik in the Torah. The person who this particular shaila is his chelik, it's like a nevuah. When a person has a nevuah, there are no doubts. There's no questions what it means, and what was it applied to, in what perspective, in what aspect. Everything is exactly and video clear to another. Whatever's within his nevuah. Something that goes beyond his nevuah. But in his nevuah, that's a klal in the nevuah, the definition of understanding nevuah. I'm going to nevuah right now. But in nevuah, that's poshut. And the chiddush is that in halacha, it's also that way. That when a person has, obviously after learning properly, and then he comes to a Torah decision, he can tell with absolute clarity, that means it's his chiddush and Torah, and that is Kabbalah Satay. When he's saying the halacha kacha, that means that this is determination. We just saw a process of revelation of the word Hashem. When the person was able to say, clear, kacha zeh, this is the halacha, halacha kemaisa.
Is that practical mistake?
Yeah.
I mean,
are you a bala
ra? No, you're saying, with the bala ra, so it's not practical to me.
For you?
That's what I'm saying. So for most of you, is that a practical thing?
The answer is no. Yeah, that's true in terms of Paschal and Shaila and Chikin or other Shailas and Rabbon and Paschal. But there are Shailas of life that everybody's required. It's sometimes it's much more than an answer. Right? There are decisions how to deal with people, deal with problems, deal with situations. You don't always have the opportunity to go running off to somebody else, and you have to make a decision. Sometimes there's no rabbis around, and there's no togethers. And you have to weigh it out. And very often that Aseh L'charav could be your wife. And you throw out the question to her, and she gives you a clear decision.
That's it. Clear decision from what basis? Is that on the poetry? You have to, so how do you know when and when that's very hard to whatever
you
ask. Yeah,
you need that. That person needs that.
I always thought probably was a laboring false assumption.
Aselah Harav,
that's like
I'm
dream calling, right? When you're saying,
oh,
it's like,
oh,
this guy
for
this question,
that's this Aselah Harav, Rav Gamliel's. We're learning now, we're here for the beginning. Rav Gamliel said Aselah Harav, we had Aselah Harav before. Your Aselah Harav is the basic Aselah Harav.
That's in
general, right. The type of relationship, that's not a person you turned him into a Rav. He was a Rav, you just have to make sure you get one. You have a relationship with one. Here the Mishnah is saying, Aseh Lecha Rav for the purpose of Hestalach Menaseh. Meaning that he's only a Rav for Hestalach Menaseh purposes. He's not that Rav of the Mishnah above. But so that's the Chiddush that he explains to us. Aseh Lecha Rav, Hestalach Menaseh. That in order to avoid doubt in Torah, you have to put upon yourself a Rav, except the Maaseh of the Mishnah is talking about Halacha within Torah. It has ramifications outside the realm of strict halacha, and halichos says halachas, and halichos halachas. And halichos only has ramifications. But you're right, there's no black and white rules. A person has to use his judgment. But it's something that a person should realize, that when a person has a clarity on an issue, if he's responsible, and he still has a clarity, that there's a greater weight for his decision. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem that you're working out at home, and you have the different sides, and you're weighing them out, and you're very unsettled with your decision. You ask your wife, and she's 100% convinced of one side. Right? Does she approach it responsibly? Can you feel that it was a responsible expression of Isaac of Engel? Then even, it doesn't go what the reasons are. The fact that she's able to come with a clarity that shows, that gives a certain weight. It's not the same weight that we have here in this mission in terms of study, because now we're talking about
Kabbalah's terms.
What?
English, little mice in the room, in the physical, in the mice in the room.
You're talking about a person who's Bola Iro. There is no mistakes after a person who's Bola Iro. It's always a person's own decision. There's a Mishnah later that says that So Elojan explains that a person has to be Marba Itza to get very different perspectives. And then, with his Bina, has to use his Tfuna to make the proper decision. Itza is for the purpose of giving a person the perspective of things that he can't see on his own. That itself is not the process of throwing off responsibility for the decision making. Each person has to make decisions in his life, and he'll never have, in most of those cases, any 100% clear indication one way or the other. Because most decisions a person has to make, where you're going to live, where you're going to see what this is called.
A lot of people have no feeling like they're with it.
But after that, you have to make your decision. That's a different idea. This person going to somebody that's so big that the fact that he gave the Eitzah, however Moshe Feinstein said it, a person who got, he told me once, a person who got an Eitzah of somebody who qualifies for Das Torah, says, number one, if you don't accept it, you're a shaitan.
Right.
Even if in logic it doesn't make sense. Because the Hashkocha came down, it's going to work out that way. Even if it doesn't make, everything goes against their own logic. That's the way. If you don't, he says, questions, before you talk about is there any, ask them whether it's also to go against an eighth if you're very little. So he says, what do we have to talk about also for? He says, because is there is alti hashoite. He says, you'd be over the is there alti hashoite. That's stupid. So then he started talking about what the Gedorim are exactly. Depends how the question was asked. Who was asked? You say that's Alti Yashayta. But we're not talking about a person on that. We don't always have the opportunity to ask people of those caliber. We shouldn't bother them with every less. Things that person has to take the responsibility himself. The Mishnah gave us all das. Give us all tenure, and give us all the capabilities to make decisions, responsibilities to make decisions. And we have to, afterwards, eat part of the soup. Right. Question?
What I've seen from experience, one is seeming to have eight reduction in life, some big people. And the answers, in just all the cases, in the questions I've asked, the answers have been in the form of, like, rhetorical questions. Like, do you really think such and such? And the answer is so obvious, like, you have to, like, come out and say it yourself. And that's how it is. And very rarely, when you see someone really big, they'll say, in my experience, they'll say, this is how it has to be. And ask you something like, so you have to see it for yourself. And then you come out and say it yourself. And
you don't have to be that big for that. That's a rule that I was taught, and you see a lot of experience, Most people who ask questions know the answer. And the reason why they ask questions is because they don't have the security to face up to the decision they already made. And all you have to do is, you just have to take off some of the cobwebs.
That's all.
Right? Yeah. So the question is, can I fool myself? And the answer is no. And then it was some more time happy. He says, boy, good decision you made. And he said, one second, tell me anything I didn't know. I did all the talking. That's not that step. Everybody can do that. You can do that for your friend.
Just cleaning it off.
Just cleaning up the... So this person has his own negias, they're clouding his vision. And generally, when people come there, that's the first thing that's done. Most questions are not questions. Very rarely does a person have a real question that he, within himself, really doesn't know. Okay. Most of the time, he really doesn't. But it's very hard for him to come to the clarity that he really doesn't know he needs some help. That's the idea of not that. So you don't have to have the deal today. That's another reason you can use friends here.
Unless we jumped the gun previously or I misunderstood the road, when we spoke about a Selech HaRav, we brought down this concept because if I remember right, we spoke about a Rambam and we learned out this Indian of Ahava, I think, on this thing about making it as your friend. This concept of not, maybe you brought down, as I remember, both in Yonah. One was the Rav in general, the Rav, and then was even your friend. In fact, the friend was the bigger Kiddush. Were we really talking about what was the karma? We just discussed it at that time?
We discussed it because there are Rishonim that bring it on that mission also.
Okay, so I want to make sure.
There are Rishonim that explain that in that mission too. I was just now explaining this point at Ben Yehuda, but it also goes with a similar approach that explains the difference between the two. The beautiful part of it is the second half of the mission. And so far we got a bit of an understanding of the first half of the mission. Selech HaRav starts with a suffix and it says a beautiful continuation. The second half of the Mishnah, he says, the halacha of Maise that the Mishnah is bringing is a moshul for Svara in learning. It says, which there's a double-handed sword that the Mishnah is teaching us. So let's maybe see it inside. So, very closer to learning. V'zeh ha-davar hu l'moshul mi'in ha-svara. She'en la'odam la'asoyisoy ma'umud. When a person has to say a Svara in learning. So he shouldn't make an exit. It's be'erach, such type of an idea. El al derech ha'ikir, yishayir l'seif adas. Get to the exact clarity. We're very clear. It has to be this way, no other way. Ve'ein zeh b'chol ha'sforis. Well, it says, al tarbe la'asim al-modis. He said, generally speaking, it has to be clear. It's not an estimation, but it's absolutely mukhrach. This is the way it is. But that's not always the case. Ve'ein zeh b'chol ha'sforis. Not all sforis are like that. She'yeh shehu l'shnei panim. There are things that have two approaches. They're both there. There is room in emes for both sides of the coin. Ve'chachochem, and the chochem who's learning this svar, alfa pisha svar also inoite lezeh ha'tzad, even though he's noite that the chachro should be to one side, he understands that even though he feels that this is the proper approach, he kind of says there could be a different approach. There's room for another approach, another opinion. El Shazen Nir Lein of Yosi knows it's only a question of his opinion that he feels this is more the proper approach. The Yesvar, but there are certain types of this is what you were looking for in general. Yesvar Shachochem HaMechadish Yisav. That the Chochem was Mechadish, this idea, this concept. Yakir v'yeda, you will recognize, no. Knowing is absolute. Kihu mukrachas al piyasvar. It's absolutely forced. This is the way you must understand. Hasvar and choino. Vein ale apon mechais. There is no other possible understanding. This is the way it is. And he'll be certain that nobody's going to argue on this. A person who has the relationship with Sforis knows that this two-handed Mishnah, which is teaching us both concepts, generally was saying that even if a person gets a idea, he feels that the approach to the sugya is in a certain way. That the svar that he's being mechadish is right. Can't be satisfied with that. Alta the last of others. You have to go after derech ikir. You have to prove it. It has to be mukhrach. And you have to get to that clarity of svar that doesn't leave room to be moved. However, you have to know that it's not always possible. Because there are basically two types of svars. There's a svara that the reason why it's two sides of it is because it's not sufficiently clarified. And then altavalasana mothers, you have to work on it and clarify it and chisel it down, turn it around, process it until it comes to that clarity, and then it'll stand and it's all normal. And there are some things because the concept itself has different sides to each. And that your mahalik, and that your approach to it, is one of the possibilities, even though in your approach, in your understanding, in your opinion, this is the more basic one. The more, but you understand that there's room for everything. These are two basic yisoides in every svara that a person comes across. Besides his first, before his own svara, it's a very big pesach in understanding gemaras. Every svara that a gemara, a rishon, says, a person has to analyze what type of these two types of svaras was presented to us. Was it a svara mukrachas? Or was it a svara shel nitya? I don't want to get very far off the subject, but the obvious question which I thought someone was going to ask is what happens after a person established as a svara mukrachas, she'ein chochem she'yachol achlech chalov, comes along a chochem, and he's chayim chayim. Because the rishonim seem to do these things all the time, and very often, that if you've gone to the depths of understanding of, say, the Rashi or Rambam, you understand that the depths of the Torah is so solid, that's it, this is the way it is. That's until you picked up the Rambam. Picked up the Rambam, the situation is very sad. Everything that you expect the Rambam says the opposite, and you're in trouble. You sit down and start working, and put the Rambam on the side, and after, sometimes you got them, but so the Moshe opens your eyes and you understand the Svara of the Rambam. And you see how the Svara of the Rambam is so right. And you see that it wasn't just a possibility, it's Mamash Pshat in the Gemara, and both Pshat Pshat and Pshat the Svara, it's Mukhaf like that. And they say, where was that Rashi? Nice stuff. Nice stuff, what are you doing? Pretty good. This we get to a tremendous idea which we've already discussed, I believe, of availability of Milikim Chai. But with after hearing this Mishnah, we see how deep it goes. Availability of Milikim Chai means that there is room in Torah for opposite Sforas Mukrachas that are Chayim together. This is a concept that we're taking on. Discussing how does it work?
Is that like a human chacham yochalach work?
No.
In Rashi, it doesn't agree with it. In that, would have dialogue with the human group.
Right. So b'chol is how do we eat? Eilu 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 the kinchayim. But I mean, we still have to. How do you get it down on the paper? And how do you put it on? Where do you put the fork? How do you get the knife? What do we do? So, there are two basic approaches. There are more. I'll just mention two. Very often, most probably, when you have these type of things, these svaras that you're dealing with now that are in such contradiction are not the source of the argument. But there's prerequisites, and prerequisites that may be three or four steps before that everything is built on, where the beginning of the changing ways started. And at that point, it may have been the difference of the svara she'ein mukrachas. The svara that started originally, could have been svara she'ein mukrachas. So sometimes, like when you have in the Gemara, and Rishonim, the Gemara, so even Tanoim, it can be a difference of a drasha of a pasuk. So they had a different starting point. And given that given, everything's mukhaf. And if Rashi would have the Rambam's original given, he would agree to it. But so at that original point where the givens came from, sometimes they come from Asfar Shein of Krachas. Right. Sometimes it comes from Alishitosa. Very often. Right. The way Rashi learned in that other Gemara, in the third Gemara, in the seventh Gemara, sometimes it goes through Shas, these things. When he got over here, he had already givens. And according to his givens, then the chat in this line of Gemara means like this, and it has to be understood this way, right? And that develops this final concept, which proves the final idea, and then you get the whole thing in. That if Rashi, if the Rambam would have Rashi's starting point, he would have gotten there too, because it is Mukhrach given the givens. But there was always hidden givens. And you often find when you get to the Vepsal of Achleikis that the Rambam had a different given. So then, there's no problem. This is Mukhrach given those givens, and this is Mukhrach given those givens.
So
even though. What? No, no. But what we're dealing with right now is Mukhrach.
But it was built on a Sfarash Enam.
See, the thing is like this. You're learning an idea, a concept. That concept is correct. It's unmovable. The way it was applied in the form that came out, the mice in Rashi's binyan, right, is built on all kinds of givens that you have to know Rashi's. That's b'chol not on the page. It may not even be the same as Sefer. Rashi doesn't always tell you about it.
Yeah, I understand.
Could be built on this, built on this, built on that, built on that.
And those givens are more.
Yeah. Sometimes and sometimes not. Where does it finally get back to? So sometimes it comes to a matter of opinion. And sometimes it comes to different Kabbalists. Sometimes it comes down very often to a, it starts with a gear to change somewhere. There is a certain given point. And there's another deeper level with the same thing, which is that most arguments are argued on the three, we'll call it three obvious levels. Surface level, middle level, and a little bit below the surface level. But not in source level. The source givens are not dealt with by those that are discussion. They were assumed a long time ago. There was no, it's not the discussion at all. If Rashi and the Ramban would have sat down and analyzed back to the original givens, they may have agreed. I mean, yeah. We don't know. That's, we can't go beyond what they did. Not mechuyev always to say, it depends how it's presented, depends what type of sfar, that the Ramban, that the Balamur understood all of the Ramban's sfars. Probably not. The Ramban approached with his givens, and then what he said was the forced result of what he understood. The Ravid had his understandings, his givens, the way he was mekabel from his Rebbe, or whatever it was, the original source of it is, his approach. This idea, which also goes into the Mishnah and more the other Mishnah, but the Seder Harav is Talach and Nasafik, that we're learning here, that it's teaching us Hilchos Sfar, this I learned from my Rav Nochem, this is Etzem Teresh about Teh. Yedias, facts of Teh, can be written down in a Sefer. What can never be written down in a Sefer is training how to think. That can be only given over to Mishabalta. And each person has their Kabbalah and these things, that there are differences. B'derech Kalal, right, the source of all Machlaikas can go back to that type of a thing. That according to the training, the Kabbalah, that the Ramban had, so this is what's Machlaikas. There are many different possibilities. Very often the source of the argument is
Mechemes and Balmor, they always are, always depending on the river, always have mean, that's a constant thing. They're always all funny with it.
The Maharal explains in one place the idea of it is how could that be? The halacha is like one of them, the halacha is like the other one. It says, if they're both correct in Svara, it means that the Svara that's discarded in halacha will have its place in halacha also applied somewhere else. Because the idea, the concept itself is correct. The halacha only passing on is that in this aspect, the decision that overcomes is this happening. But these are the lighter levels that we explained. There's a much deeper level. The much deeper level is because the world is not black and white. There is nothing that exists in the world that is pure. In our world, higher levels, yes, but in our world, things are not pure. Nothing is pure toiv. Nothing is pure ra. And the worst person you can find certainly is Tavis. And the best person you can find for Sarinas. And the same thing, the best Maisa. You can find certain aspects of the Maisa, certain Tzadachasorim. And the same thing with Asfar or Atzad. Nothing is totally pure. Not just between Toib and Ra, but between any two issues that the discussion is being made up of. When the final call is a question of what is given the greater weight. So the one who's decided that the left side should be given greater weight expresses it in given all of the understanding of the shivas of the idea called left, or black, or whatever it is, that, you know, the two sides of the issue. And the one that has given the greater emphasis to the right will do the opposite. But Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Chaim, because in truth there are both aspects. And beyond, when the discussion would not be what the decision should be, but what is the total picture, of course both would agree to both. Because there is that aspect. If you get this forum, like Rabbi Yeruchim's forum, it's kind of fascinating thing. If you're not familiar with this forum, and somebody would pick it up, it gets very, very confused. Because the Mamar Shashit over there, have whole, let's take the Kalu Prat. You have a whole series of Shmuzim or Shurim there that teaches that a person is only existence to the degree that it relates to a Klal. Everything is the Klal. Klal, 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 Klal. Learn those things, Klal, Klal, Klal. Then you pick up another half of the Sefer. Okay. And sheer after sheer after sheer, it teaches us is that Amena Hili Hili Prat. It's not the clouds, the Prat, each person's in and on his own, and he explains it and goes through it in all different aspects, and if you only saw that Prat, you would be convinced, Prat. I put up both again, you know? If you're not you're used to knowing how to learn the Yoruchim, so you get confused. And this is what he said in Toshin, you know, he changed his mind, it was later, you know. He changes his mind, or later. Every aspect has two sides to it. The deeper you get, the more there are two sides. They're both, you need both. But if you start the explanation of Klal by saying, but you should know Prat, that's also important, and you won't hear with total clarity what Klal is important. So when you explain Klal all the way. And the same thing for Prat. So the only way to get the full picture is a three-step process. First you have to hear total clarity what Klal is. Then you have to hear another different time, a whole series, understand a total clarity what Prat is. And then the third and hardest step, which really each person only has to do on his own, that's why you have very, very few shurim like that. He brings them both together and shows you how they interact. That's das. That's when you have Asian mind, you know how to make shol. You know, I used to shol in the Merino. That's the Talmud Chochem, the Binyan Lama, it's like the Binyan Lama. Takes Asian, Mayim, Klal, and Prat, all of the different aspects of the world, runs them together. That's the Koyach of Rebbe Kiva, that's Koyach of Svara. Oike Horim, the Tuchnon Zeb Zeb Svara. It picks up Har Everest, one hand, the Himalayas, and the other, and grinds them together. to the Svara. That's the Koyach of Torah, that the Svara takes to a mountain is something immovable. You can't move a mountain. That's definite. This is the way it is. The Torah gives us the capability of taking two definite things. That this is the way it is, and also the opposite. This is also the way it is, and combining them into one whole. That's the Koyach of Svara. So here they're telling us that we have to know Altar Balas Amos. Sages, things that are, you have to go after it, because usually you can't say, well, there's another side to the issue. Usually, if there's another side of the issue, it's because you haven't got to the depth of it yet. Usually, it's because you haven't worked hard enough. Because it's still, it's not because it's gray, it's because it's unclear. At your level of understanding, so it's still too wishy-washy. Right, don't give up so fast. I'll talk about that. You have to go after it till the end. Until you can come rock solid this way. However, you have to know that's not always attainable. And that there are times when a person has to learn the rules of how to recognize which one it is. That this is in essence a different type of a svara, and it has no hachra. It means it has no hachra be'etzen. It can't be proven one side, because there are two sides. It can only be a discussion of hachra. That you're united to this side in this case. And that when you know that there could be, that somebody would be united to that way. That's called Shikul Hadas. The Shikul Hadas means that it recognizes both sides, it accepts the existence of both sides, and now it's awake, totally enough to weigh it out. So every such weighing, there's a possibility somebody else will weigh it out differently. Shikul Hadas. This is the Yesod of this mission, a beautiful explanation that the Rabbeinu Yonah gives, opens a tremendous light in learning Torah in general, and knowing what Torah is. And there are ramifications. The Mishnah itself is talking about, both halves of the Mishnah, talking about Torah. But there are ramifications that each person can take for himself about his daily life. The same type of concepts that we had over here, that the Mishnah is talking as in much stronger terms. In terms of Torah, like we said before, in the beginning of the Mishnah, same thing here too. The person has to know that opinions, ideas, approaches that a person has, it's all can be worked in two ways. First of all, you have to know whether it is just a matter of an opinion, or it's a fact. If somebody is arguing on you because they have a right to argue on you, and still you can try to prove them that the Chorah should be to be what you're saying. Or no, maybe not. Maybe that you have the clarity of situation to the degree that you know that this is the way it should be and the other person is wrong. And you have to know what to do then also. First you have to know the difference between the two. Secondly, like we explained before, even when you have solid opinions, you have two people dead set, this is the way it should be. It says, no, definitely it should be the other way. Right? Go back to the source. There's always hidden givens. Go look for the givens. Start looking back for the givens, and maybe you have to find weird things that seem to be. Can't get them together. No. You have to make another show. Two different. You can make shows. And find what the givens is. What's really bugging this guy? What's really bugging that guy? You can give him what he needs. You can give him what he needs. You can put things right. You can put both things that they can work in harmony. That's the prayer of the Torah, and we have ways of showing them, and I could take things that are solid. But that's the understanding of this mission of Yilu Aimer, connection of the two halves of the mission, Selech HaRav V'Estalach Minasovik, even an equal, not necessarily a Rav. And there's a clarity, especially in Torah, a person who has, we always give Hashivas to the person who can give a definite opinion. B'tnai, that's responsible. Person who's wishy-washy, he has less hashivus in his decision power. Tenure of the Mishnah is the same thing as Svara, that the power of Svara has to be ikur divino, clear, solid, can't be moved. But you have to verify that. That's how it was. Say the Chayav stuff from the Sofet. Well, have a
Sofet. In a case where you see two Sforas and you know they both have place, and we say, but it's your opinion, you choose, you decide to act this way rather than that way. So, what is happening there? Is this that this has made some kind of personal impression on you? I mean, what? So now you know they're both true. You have two Sforas, they're both true. So why did you choose A? What is operative there that you've decided to choose A? If you know both A and B are true, what's occurring between you and the Sfora? You're the guy.
You're talking about the place in Halacha?
Yeah. The person in Halacha.
There's a rush in, I think it's called Tzir, that says, venurally, kach v'kach, v'ani kuch. So, Forsham explained, he said that when the rush brought rayas, other things that he said, and he proves from the Gemara, so then other Rishonim can argue on the rush. Because that opinion of the rush was built on that one raya that he brought. Somebody else or another Rishon comes along and says, not like that opinion. Says the way that you can learn the Gemara that's not approved the way the rush says, so it can be different. But nearly of the rush is the rush's whole shas, speaking. His whole learning, his whole background in Torah, gives that the decision nearly kacha. It's called shikul hadas. Shikul hadas is a product of the totality of Torah that the person has going, and therefore, who shikul hadas has a value system point of view. When the rush gives a shikul hadas, the world shakes. When we give a shikul hadas, somebody yawns.
Some of its preference.
It could be just, it doesn't necessarily. When a poisik gives a shikul hadas, it's halacha. A person goes to a rav, anybody who has the quality of being a poisik, not a yudea halacha. And he says, well, I saw Mishnah Berurah, I know that the halacha is this. But he has the power to make decisions. Go to Rabbi Yashin. And he passed himself. Replacing Kerala, actually, I don't know. I'm giving up for this. But a real person. And they tell you something, even Shikul Hadas, the Moshe Feinstein will sell this through. Right? Something that was a question of estimation in Shiva, is a Shikul Hadas. He looked at my children and said, go. Right? And the only question was whether it was big enough or wasn't big enough, whether it was a Shiva was proper enough. That was the whole Allah question. So he saw, there was a whole story, but he saw that guy, a little hesitant. So he explained to me, he says, if you go upstairs, at 120, and somebody is going to ask you, well, why did you wear this tefillin that the shear was not like the same sort of this one, that one. So you say it because the Torah said that these tefillin are kosher. Right? Right. That's a strong statement. We just said the same sort of thing. Yeah, but I asked the Pesach. And the Pesach, his name is Moshe Feinstein, that's what he told us. Right? So the Pesach said that I said, Moshe Feinstein, right, that's the tefillin of kosher. It's going to be very quiet. That's at the end of the discussion. Why? Because a poisik is not a mevara. He's not clarifying the issue. He determines the issue for the person who gives the psalm. When he says kosher, it is now kosher for the person who gives it. Now his next door neighbor went to a different rav and heard. Trade, freedom of trade. If he eats it, trade. Well, that's not going to happen. If he went to the same rav, the same case.
But the minute somebody else comes, it's already the same case for that particular person.
What? I was saying, if you have the same case, you go to the same rav, you can free the same answer. Okay. Very often it doesn't appear that way because it's not the same. Because usually, reasons that you may not be aware of, it wasn't the same child. The Rav realized that it's different. You know, where the fact is that make it different. So he thought it's the same. Well, how come he got kosher and I got trash? But that's possible. That the person goes to a different Rav and say, no, his opinion is that. For him, it was determined that way. It's not the question that it was decided, or so well, you decide this way, or maybe I should follow him, can I go ask somebody else? Okay. It was decided. Now the Torah says for you, this is to do. You have the Shemayim, that's the halacha for you. You have to, that's, when a person has the koyach of a psach. Psach, a decision made even with shikul hadas, right? So even maybe even especially with shikul hadas, is determining the halacha for you. Now that's what the Torah says for you. You're going against that, it's going against the Torah. There's a Gemara about Elav Elav Devela Kimchai, one of the Eitha Gemaras. There's a machlokes in the Tanoim had in the Sugya Pelegish Begiva. Parsha in Tanakh. The question is, what was the thing that set off the whole story that got the person angry at his Meitzer? It says machlokes. Nima Motza or Zuluf Motza? Right? Machlokes. While they were having this machlokes, one of the Tanoim met Elio and Novi. Oh, hi Elio, how are you doing? What's going on in Shemayim now? So he says, the Rebbeinu's learning Parshas Pelegish Begiva. Oh, great, that's just what we were talking about. And what does he say? He says, Chanina b'ni yoymer nimot. Les, I think it is b'ni yoymer. We don't know. We're just trying to figure it out. We weren't there. Right? So we have to figure it out according to the Darchei HaTorah. What was Vuv Motza or Nir Motza? The Vashem was there. What does it mean, Chanina B'Nir? He knows which one was right. So either was it this Motza or that Motza. Was it? And that's what happens in Besan Shalmaila. Yes, it is that when a person who's a Torah personality, a person who has the Koyach of Torah, says Nima Motza, that's a reality. If there was no possibility of Nima Motza, he wouldn't have said it. There was such an aspect. The Bernishon says, Nima Motza. Chanina B'Nir. He brought down that aspect of the truth called Nima Motza, and his achroth gave it the, that he was Makriya, that gives it the more Hashiva, so it is Vuk Motza. He said, Zvuk Motza, there was a Zvuk. There was a Nima, there was a Zvuk. Machlaik says, which one's giving the Hashivas? And the halacha of Teilat B'Shamayim is, that the Rabbi Yishlam is dependent on the Psak Lamata. And the question, which one is the Hachra? But there are, the Chanina B'Nir, we didn't, there wasn't Nimna B'Gom. So now there's a Chanina B'Nir that says this way, so Rabbi Yishlam has to say it off. Chanina B'Nir, Nima also? How's the B'Nir Yonimah?
He wants a question with Tzius.
That's what we're saying.
A new question.
If one of them would have been wrong.
One of the Vaisa was, no, Vaisa. Sometimes you could say both.
This is the Gemara of Elav Elav Devela Kimchai. This is the main Gemara of Elav Elav Devela Kimchai on this. And the Gemara wants to show how far it goes. It's not, even though here, we for sure would say, well, obviously somebody was wrong.
So what's Pshat if I said both of them were right? I mean what so was
the Pasha Pshat, the way you're going to say it simply, is obviously both stories happened. There was a question, which was the straw that broke the camel's back? Which was the thing, which was the thing that was the greatest... Which gave the hachra. So here we see something that obviously on the surface everybody says, oh, for sure, it's either this way or that way, make up your mind. And for sure, the Baruch not really aware of this. This Chanina B'Nir, things that are seem to be this is Oikah Horim, a har, but you can't move a har. Torah comes along, first of all, you're Oikah the har. That is one, two. The two are opposites. This is a north har and that's a south har. The north says that you have to be in the north, and the south har says you got to be in the south. And that's the way it is. It's been that way since... Trichnin zeh v'zeh. Growing them together. Then you get north-south har. How? That's the Kirchhoff. Okay.